The Widow's Mites. James describes a basis for acceptable worship thus: pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. James chapter 1, verse 27. By contrast, we read of the scribes, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. Mark chapter 12, verse 40. It was a duty in Israel
to take care of the fatherless and widows.
Yet, not only were they neglecting their duty, the scribes were also causing the widows' affliction and coercing them to part with all their goods, devouring their houses. But there was a certain poor widow who voluntarily gave all that she had to the temple treasury. There came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Mark chapter 12, verses 42 to 44. It is her willing offering that we shall consider in today's reflections. It is written of those who give, Every man according as he purposeth, in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. And again, if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. We see this in the poor widow under consideration. She demonstrated a willing spirit, and so her offering was not judged by its lack of intrinsic value, but proportionately by the fact that she was willing to give everything. Giving voluntarily, Paul wrote that we should give not grudgingly or of necessity. Under the law of Moses, there was a tithing system whereby everyone had to provide a tenth of all their goods. Part of the reason for that was to sustain the strangers, the fatherless, and the widows. See Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 29, and chapter 26, verse 12, to help alleviate their affliction and poverty. This was compulsory, so of necessity, and they had no choice but to give a tenth. But there was nothing to prevent a person from giving more, if they so chose. If they were a cheerful giver, they could have provided more to these vulnerable categories of the congregation. The record in Acts chapter 5 recounts how there were 2 individuals who made a show of giving everything in divine service, yet they only gave a proportion. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Acts chapter 5, verse 2. In this situation, Ananias and Sapphira could have given a proportion, and that would have been fine. But their sin was that they pretended to give everything when they had held some back for themselves. This resulted in their deaths. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the spirit. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. Acts chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. Sapphira also confirmed her husband's lie and died accordingly. By contrast to this deceitful pair, the widow under consideration gave her all, and was blessed by the Lord. As a cheerful giver, although she could have given just one of her mites, she gave everything. Her offering was more in proportion than that of the scribes, who craved the praise of men, for they only gave a small part of their abundance. Other poor widows. There are other widows in Scripture who displayed the same expression of faith as the one under consideration. First, Kings chapter 17 describes how Elijah was to be sustained by a certain widow during a time of famine. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. The prophet duly went and came to the widow, who was gathering sticks to cook a last meal for herself and her son to eat, using up all the paltry amount of food that she had left. Then Elijah said unto Timtit her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 13. This widow demonstrated a generous spirit, and made provision for Elijah, placing his needs above her own. Because she had such a spirit, it was promised. Thus saith Yahweh, God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that Yahweh sendeth rain upon the earth. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 14. And so both the widow's house and the prophet were provided for by miraculous means. The law of Moses made provision for widows in another way, in addition to the tithes. Deuteronomy chapter 24 records the command. When thou cuttest down thy harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that Yahweh thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 19. Again, like the tithes, this was a giving of necessity. It was commanded of them. But again, there was nothing to stop the cheerful givers from providing more if they so chose. And that is what we see in the example of Ruth, the Moabitish widow, and Boaz. Ruth chapter 1 describes the circumstances that resulted in Naomi and Ruth, her daughter-in-law, being widowed. They returned to the land following another period of famine, and Ruth, the Moabitish widow, went to glean, unwittingly as it happened, in the field of Boaz. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. Ruth chapter 2, verse 3. Taking advantage of the legal provision thus described above, Boaz not only allowed her to glean behind his reapers as the law commanded, but he also went above and beyond what was required and provided more. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls on purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her.
Not.
Ruth chapter 2, verses 15 to 16. Moreover, as a token of love and fellowship, Boaz allowed the damsel to eat and drink with his reapers, and even made special provision for her. Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. Ruth chapter 2, verse 14. Notice this. During a meal with his reapers, Boaz personally included her by handing her parched corn, enabling her to eat her fill. In considering these things, we may think of another meal many years later, where Messiah similarly extended a token of fellowship in the spirit of love and care. Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. John chapter 13, verse 26. After receiving the sop, Judas went out immediately into the darkness of the night. John chapter 13, verse 30. By contrast to Ruth, the virtuous woman, Ruth chapter 3, verse 11, Judas betrayed his master and left the light of the world, entering into the darkness of night. Choosing the poor. It is a principle of Scripture that God has chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him. James chapter 2, verse 5. There are those who are destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. This category of men delighted in wealth and the advantages of affluence, yet in real terms, they were destitute,
having not the truth. The ecclesia at Laodicea was like this. Thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Revelation
chapter 3, verse 17. These are those who trust in their wealth rather than in God. Timothy was instructed to charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. As the Lord himself taught, it is hard for rich men to enter into the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 18, verse 24. There must be a realization that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Therefore, we are to take heed and beware of covetousness. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. The true disciples of Christ are not covetous of riches or of this world's goods. Instead, they seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, trusting that all other things shall be added unto them. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Here is the true spirit of faith. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, Who is Yahweh? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 to 9. Messiah echoed this sentiment, teaching us to pray, Give us this day our daily bread. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. The Lord himself demonstrated this spirit of relinquishing the pleasures of this life, being content with food for the day. He gave all that he had in divine service. Actually, know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Though he was the Son of the Highest, the Lord humbled himself to be a servant. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. And this same disposition must be found in the disciples. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Looking to the faithful example of the widow who gave all her living to divine service, we must do likewise. Laying down a life in service is the example of Messiah himself. By following her example and that of Messiah, and giving cheerfully according to our means, we will find grace and honor in the kingdom to come. By Brother Christopher Maddox, I will now close with an insert by Brother John Thomas.
Ignorance. No one has any right to set up his own ignorance as the limit of what God hath revealed. A thing may be unknown to such a man, but it does not therefore follow that it is either absolutely unintelligible or a secret. He may not know of it, or if explained to him, he may not have the intellect enough to comprehend it, or his prejudices or sectarian bias may darken his understanding. This by no means makes the thing unintelligible or mysterious to other people. All that such persons have a right to say is, "We do not know anything about it." They may confess their own ignorance and resolve to look into the matter, or not, but they are presumptuously overstepping the bounds of propriety to venture to do more. John Thomas, Elpis Israel.